Wasted so much time on people who should've just been ignored. If I slow down now, I'll pump the brakes. What was it all for?
What was it all for?
What was it all for? I'ma make this shit count, though.
Cfr Network, Cfr News. Good day, good night, all. Welcome back. I have kept the build very local. I have a fellow Brommy on the line with me. We'll do things a little bit different. Please introduce yourself a little bit to the listening audience, sir.
Thank you. So my name is Nathan Woolery, and I'm a chartered accountant, and I'm from Birmingham.
From sunny Birmingham. Well, first, let's say thank you for carving out some time to have this conversation with me. And I thought it's very vital and important, especially in the quote unquote economic downturn that we're in at the moment, to have a more of a financial conversation and to highlight some of your skills. So before we even get to that element, did we always, when we was at primary school, were we thinking, yeah, see, when I leave school and when I get to secondary school, I'm going to be an accountant? Was this always the dream, or like, has this path kind of been an interesting road?
You know what? That's a weird question, because I feel like sometimes I should give like a really good answer. But the only reason I'm an accountant is because, I don't know if you and you at school, did you ever have connections? The connections?
I know what you're talking about. It wasn't good.
They kind of came around and asked you what you want to be when you're older.
Yes.
A purple book, all that kind of stuff. I remember they came to my school and they were like, oh, what do you want to be when you're older? I'm thinking, I have no idea. So literally, all I did was I Googled at the time, you know, high paying jobs in the UK. And I think the top one was quite high, which was like a lawyer. And then just below that was an accountant. And I looked into being a lawyer and how long it takes. I thought, now this is a lot of studying. I didn't want to go to uni. I wanted money now. So the next level below that was an accountant. I thought, okay, looked into it. There's a way to be a chartered accountant without going to university. And I thought, cool, let's go for it. So literally from then, I thought, I'm going to be an accountant.
I like it. I like that at that early age, you were able to say, you know, to make that focused long-term decision to initially to say, look, yeah, okay, high paid, okay, lawyer. We're talking, what, 6-8 years, sometimes even longer, depending on what we know how we want to do it. Let's step the bar down a little bit lower and let's carve out that niche. What was it? So once you then got the idea, what steps did you take?
So when I realized I didn't have to go to university, I kind of laid out a plan of what I needed to do, like what exams I needed to study. So then what happened was then I was at college, studied accountancy, A level. Then I thought, okay, I need to get a job. So I left after I finished college. I then found a job, like a really junior role, like a really small firm, lovely firm. And then they kind of paid for all of my exams. Then I left there because I wanted to go into a different area of, I wanted to go into tax, and they wanted me to stay in Audi, which is more, I mean, it's boring. I wanted to go into tax where you can add a bit more value, a bit more creative.
Okay.
So then I then moved to another firm where they paid for all of my exams, finished my exams. And then fortunately from doing that, you can come out much younger as a chartered accountant instead of going to uni, doing your exams and then being chartered. It's more just a quicker way, really. I was really impatient at the time. I thought, no, I need to.
And having the hands-on experience and having that ability to be in a business setting, not just going through the theory elements of it through university or through college.
Yeah, exactly. That was the main reason, really, because you can kind of, you've kind of got someone paying for all your exams and giving you hands-on experience. So in my mind, I was thinking, well, that's going to put me in a more attractive position compared to someone who come out of university. Yeah, they've got a degree, but they've got no relevant practical experience, and they still have to do the same exams that I've done a few years ago, which didn't make any sense.
Yeah. And what was the support like? I mean, we may have different stories, but what was your story like regarding the support that your education, that you got education-wise, being a young black male in the city of Birmingham?
Yes, it's a weird one. So the firm I worked at, it was in Solihull, so which narrows it down even more to the black people that were there. I
Yes.
think I must have been the first. Was I the? I don't know if I was the first black person. I was definitely the only one. And you know what? They were. It's a weird one because at that time, so that time I feel old now. Kind of in those settings, I was kind of already used to being like the only black person in a room anyway. As in, even like primary school, secondary school is a bit different. But like, yeah, I was, and to be fair, the support that they gave me was fine. As in, everyone was fine. Everyone's polite. But it's also at that level. I didn't really do any work. They were asking me to do shitty stuff like make tea. Like me and this other guy. Yeah, when you're a junior auditor, making tea, getting files, getting boxes. I was like, oh, what's going on
So
here
it's
then?
that low of an administration role in essence.
Literally making drinks, getting files. I'm pretty sure at one point the partner asked me to drop him somewhere. I think, this guy's taking the piss, man.
Look, this has made you the person who you are today, right?
And to be fair, like they were good people, very old-fashioned. It's weird seeing them now because over time they've kind of like caught up with times. They're much more dynamic. But yeah, at the time it was very old-fashioned. But yeah, all the everyone was cool. They helped me. I would never say anything bad because they gave me the platform.
Platform and the foundation. So what kind of time frame are we talking about now? Are we talking the 2010s or onwards, or what?
Good question. I left. Oh, I must have been. I reckon it was 2010. It's 10 now, maybe. So let me check. It must have been 2010. I'm pretty sure I joined when I was like 18, 19.
Okay.
So yeah, it might have been. Let me check
Time
those
flies, isn't
dates.
it?
Yeah, especially when you're looking back, you think, yeah,
Any?
what, where those times gone?
Yes.
So a quick look, let me quick find it.
See, the
So
good thing
I
about it is
was.
you're having all these experiences and living life, because that's why it's hard to actually remember and put the ages on the dates and stuff.
Which is weird. I remember younger thinking, why can't people remember where they were? But I'm that person now. So I went there. Now 2016. Now 23. No, what am I about? 2007. I joined
Seven,
there. I got first job.
okay.
Yeah, so 35. Yeah, 2007.
So 2007 then, so they would have been very, if you're saying old school, they would have still been very paper-based, as you say, files, etc.
Yeah, like clients are giving you like bags of receipts. I remember there's a client who's a fish and chip shop. Just give you receipts, just put oil on them. Tell I remember this is the point I realized that I needed to leave. They sent me, so when you're an auditor, sometimes you have to do stock takes. You'll go to a client and you have to count the stuff they've got, right? I remember they sent me somewhere in Birmingham. Do you know where the Boring used to be? The old
Yes,
Boring.
yes.
There's like a fish market there.
Yeah, I remember it.
And they sent me there at about 3 a.m. to count some fish. And I remember I was in this trailer with the guy or a lady at the time. And my pen stopped working. That's how cold it was. The
That's
pen
how
stopped
cold.
working.
Yes.
I was like, no, there's got to be another way. I was like, no, nah, I need to, I'm not doing auditing anymore now. I need to change.
Motivation, getting there, having to put that thermal suit on and all that.
Cold. It's cold. Nah. I don't do it cold as it is anyway.
Well, look, we're original in it, so of course we like the sun and stuff, anyway. We like this cold stuff, so yes, I totally empathize in that respect. So let's look at the wider picture. So in, well, I don't know if you can give me the statistic. I mean, within the industry itself, how much percentage-wise would you say sort of black people do make up?
I reckon it's a small percentage, but I think it depends on where you work. So luckily, that small firm I worked at, over time I've worked for bigger firms, and I worked for one of the biggest firms in the world, and they kind of came out and said that what they wanted to do, they kind of acknowledged that there was hardly any black partners there, and the partners who are kind of the ones that have a share in the firm, and I'm
Yes.
pretty sure it came out as less than 2%
Oh, wow.
black partners, I think. And then it's an interesting question when you're there, because when they kind of come out and say these stats, you get the little tap on the shoulder, Nathan, do you want to be, we want some more black partners, we want it to be you, blah blah blah. And then You have to sit back and think, okay, do I want to be partner? Maybe. But there's that question, if I did get partner, is did I get partner because I'm black and they need another black partner, or was it because I'm the best there and it was in no doubt? And I
Yes.
remember at the time speaking to my the my manager at the time, and he kind of said, in a way, he kind of said, Nathan, just like don't worry about it, just take it. Like go, if it's there, if just go for it. And I was like,
Yeah.
nah, if I go for it, I need to know it's me because I'm the best. But then I've been in other conversations where people have said, actually, no, it's right, they should do that, and you know, you should be blah blah. So people have different thoughts about it, but with me, I'm always merit, as in I don't want any favors. I'm about being the best person for the job.
Judge me on what I'm actually doing, what I can actually bring forth, rather than
Yeah,
ticking
exactly.
these boxes, as they say.
Mainly because my granddad always said to me, he always said the main reason to be like that because he said no one can ever turn around to you and be like, oh yeah, you're there because of this. Like if no one can ever take that away from you, then absolutely not. I'd hate to be in that position when someone, you know, you walk in a room and someone's like, oh, you only got that because, you know, the percentage of black people is 2% and it needs some more.
It's not earned, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's given. It's a tricky one. It's a tricky one because at the same time, you could have potentially been the one to actually break the quote unquote glass ceiling and enable an influx of original young black males saying, "Wait a minute, Nathan's there. Well, I can do this."
Exactly. And that's the kind of thing that you're kind of dealing with. And it's always that question of, you know, do you want to be that person? But
The
then on the other
figurehead.
side, yeah, on the other side, you think, okay, well, there's only 2% of black people that are partners. Let's look at that other 98%. How many of them are actually supposed to be there?
You see it? You see it? Yeah, man. So friends, how did they take this career path? I guess friends took many other different routes, or were they pretty supportive? Did they think, actually, you know what, this is a good idea, maybe I should jump in and try and do this as well?
Yeah, friends is I'll start with family actually. So my family, I say most family were very supportive, as in, yeah, we trust you, Nathan, you know, we know you're intelligent, go for it. My nan at the time was like, Nathan, what are you doing? Go to university. I'm like, nan, I know what I'm doing. She's like, no, you need to go to university. You're gonna ruin your career. I'm like, no, I'm not gonna give up my career. I know what I'm doing, trust me. And then now she's like, oh, I'm so proud of you, Nathan. I always knew it. I'm like, no, it's fine, don't worry about it. It's fine. But yeah. But with friends, yeah, really supportive. As in my school friends now, which I think from primary school, don't talk to anyone from primary school, secondary school. Yeah, still my close friends now. Some of my close friends now are from then, and they all do different things, taking different paths. But I think for me, it's I always think about if I meet someone, you know, would I like them when I was at school? You know, when you're that innocent person and you kind of
Yes,
know if someone's genuine or not. Whereas now, you
indeed.
know, you meet somebody, you have no idea what the motivations are.
And
So yeah, try and keep it
agendas.
small. Exactly. Yeah. So always try and keep like a really small circle. Definitely. I think I've got different groups of friends, but I've only got a small group who would
Core.
say, I'm definitely Nathan's best friend. Do you know what I mean? Like
Yes.
really core.
And unfortunately, that's the best way to safeguard and protect self, because it's very interesting times that we're in at the moment. Very interesting times, should I say. So getting back into the financial side of it and stuff. So clearly you like numbers, or is that not always true for someone who deals with numbers on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. So with accountancy and tax, it is kind of numbers, but it's mostly law. Which is kind of where it's like a nice sidestep from being a lawyer. Because what you kind of do with tax is you, let's say you have someone that earns a set amount of income, you then use the law and the rules that apply to make sure that they can get that income and pay less tax. But it's all about applying it to the law, because if the law's not there, then it's a free for
But exactly. And many people don't necessarily really understand. They think, okay, I'm going to set this business up, and it's not until they get a bill, they're like, oh, I gotta pay something. I thought I'd just buy stuff and then make profit. Like, Okay, so I got an accountant. Okay, how much is he gonna charge me? Or can I do it myself, kind of thing? Like, it can be a minefield, and I think people sometimes make very, should we say, interesting decisions in regards to, looking at scales. So someone who's just starting, and they're probably only gonna turn over like, let's say, 30K or something like that.
This episode is sponsored by Supim of the UK. Click the link in the description and support the broadcast.